Right. Welcome back to our Pass Your Life Insurance Exam Podcast. I'm your instructor, the one and only Biko Mantin, and I'm also the host of the most listened to life and health insurance exam and pre-licensing podcast in all of America as of July. Right now, we're at, I think, 38,000 downloads and counting. So we're excited to have you here. If you're listening to us on the podcast, if you're watching us on YouTube now, or maybe you're watching a little clip of this on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, wherever you are, we want to say welcome. So this is day three of our challenge. And the whole point of our challenge here is to get people to pass their exam, the life insurance exam, within 5 days, you know, to prepare you. And we call it a challenge for a reason, because we're going to challenge you. We're going to push you. You're going to do a lot of studying, a lot of assignment. So you're going to get out of your comfort zone. It's going to be rigorous. But good news is, if you can do everything, you attend all 5 days of the challenge, and you do all of the assignments, you should be ready to pass your exam after 5 days, or pretty close to passing your exam. So just to do a quick recap, on day one, that was on Monday, we talked about the different test taking strategies. Again, if you're in the class, you know, if you're part of our online community, if you didn't attend, go back and watch that, because we talk about the different test taking strategies, the tips. Because you can know the material, but if you don't know those strategies, you're going to fail. So we talked about 10 different tips and strategies in day one. And we talked about a little bit about term insurance. We contrasted term insurance and permanent insurance. So we did that in day one. Then day two, which was yesterday, we concluded chapter one, which is, you know, the different types of insurance policies. We cover annuities, we cover permanent life insurance, variable, universal, all of that. We completed that yesterday too. Again, if you didn't, you know, if you are not in attendance, you can go back and watch. We have all the recording in our membership. So today is day three. So we had Lexi from South Carolina. So she was here Monday and Tuesday, but I think she had a family emergency, so she's not here today. But we have a student, another student, Miss Beverly, from the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State. So it's her first day here in the challenge. So I'll let her to introduce herself for a few minutes, then we're going to start. So Miss Beverly, you want to tell the people a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
Okay. Hello. My name is Beverly Irby. I'm in Texas, and been here for 22 years. We're from Wisconsin. My husband is from Illinois, and I'm from Wisconsin. And we've been in ministry for 35, almost 40 years, actually. And so I teach etiquette and protocol, and I really teach at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Mm-hmm. And enjoy everyday life. Mm-hmm. I like to have more money to invest and to give and to sow into the ministry. And that's why I wanted to take this course. I really want to pass it. And I've been studying it for way more than you probably know, 3 months. And I haven't scored a 70 yet. So that wasn't good. So that's why when I found Biko on my Audible, on my phone, I just started listening. And I'm very excited, and I'm very grateful for you, sir, to help train us. And I look forward to being educated in this and passing the tests.
All right. That's good. You came to the right place at the right time. So I like to motivate people a little bit. So the insurance industry is actually booming. And it's crazy, because people may say, but the insurance industry is booming. How come there are a lot of insurance agents quitting? Yes, those are both true, right? So you can have two opposite troops at the same time. It's booming, but a lot of new people come also quit. So how is that possible? The first thing is there are a lot of insurance agents who are who've hit retirement age. A lot of the baby boomer agents, they came in the 80s, the 90s, but those people now in their late 50s, their 60s. So you have a lot of older insurance agents leaving the industry, right? So those people are leaving and they need to be replaced. So that's one thing. Second thing is the population is also increasing. Take, for example, Ms. Beverly, you are from Texas. So Texas is one of the fastest growing states right now, right? So I think just in the last few years, they added 400,000 people in Texas, moved to Texas. So the population is increasing. Okay. So what that tells you, you have more people leaving the industry, right? Older people, baby boomer generation, they're retiring. And then you also have more people, being added, to the population, right? So the population is growing. So you got more customers or potential customers, but you got fewer and fewer people every year to serve those customers. So what that does, it leaves a huge gap. Now, I know on average about 85% of new agents quit, because they come in with this high expectation. Most of the time recruiters, I'm a recruiter also, but sometimes we don't do new agents a favor, right? Because we just sell them the benefits. We just sell them the dream, but we don't sell them the nightmare, right? We sell them the dream, but we don't sell them the nightmare. If you're going to sell someone the dream, also sell them the nightmare. So they just know, oh yes, I can come and make 10 or 20,000 a month. So they come with all this huge expectation, and boom, within the first few months, they go and sell to their parents. Now, mom, dad, do you want insurance? Nope. Their siblings? Nope. Friends? Nope. Church members? Nope. And they're like, hold up, what's going on? So now everybody, because for some reason, people don't like insurance agents, right? I think right on the car salesman, I think insurance agent, people have this weird thing about insurance agents. So now your friends and family will start to avoid you. You're calling them like, oh, Miss Babe, she's trying to sell me insurance. Nah, I ain't answering. So when you look, after a few months, not only are you not making money, but now you're losing relationships, right? Because now, no one wants to pick up your phone calls. Everybody's avoiding you because they think you're trying to sell them and all of that stuff. And then people get frustrated. After 6 months, a year, you ain't making any money. Nobody wants to talk to you. People get frustrated and they say this doesn't work. That happens to 85% of agents. The good news is about 5 to 10% of agents who stick it through and get the proper training, those agents make a lot of money. When I'm making a lot of money, some of them even 6-7 figures, right? But that is only 5 to 10% of agents. So how do you become part of that 5 to 10%? So the good news is we have something here. We call the Growth Academy. We have our online portal. It's called Next Level Academy. And it's divided into two groups. Group one is the pre-licensing. Because before you can have the potential to make money, you first of all have to get your license. So the first group is the pre-licensing group. So we help you get your license. We train you, all of that. Then after you get your license, you can now graduate to the Growth Academy, because if you ain't growing, you're definitely dying, right? So we help you to transition to Growth Academy. And it's just $29.99 a month. We have a lot of live training that will help you, because I've been in this industry for almost 2 decades now. There are a lot of changes, a lot of good changes. Before, when I started, you had to go to your client physically, like in person, and do the application. So if you are in, if you are in Texas, most of the time you're limited to only clients in Texas, because you had to drive there physically, do the evaluation, all of that, your financial analysis, the sign it, paper, all of that. But the industry has changed tremendously, especially in the last 2-3 years since COVID. They've relaxed a lot of those regulations. So now you're an agent, you can sit in Texas and pretty much serve clients in all 50 states, right? Mm-hmm. It is amazing. And being an insurance agent gives you that WFA lifestyle. Everybody craves that WFA lifestyle, that is work from anywhere. So you don't have to be tied to a specific, you know, location. So, hey, I can be in Hawaii, I can be anywhere, I'm still working, still making money. So it's great. I love it. So we have that Next Level Academy. If you're watching this on YouTube or in the podcast, it's going to be in the description, the link to that. The good thing is there's a 5-day free trial. You ain't pay anything, 5 days. Try out for 5 days. If you don't like it, you cancel, you don't get charged. If you like it, you stay and you get billed $29.97 every month. That's less than the price of filling your tank. All right, so let's get started. So we'll pick up from where we stopped yesterday, and I'll share my screen here. Let's see. Let me know if you see my screen. Let's see here.
I see.
You see my screen, right? Okay. So we did chapter one yesterday. We cover the types of policies. Again, if you are not here yesterday, you can go back and watch the recording. So we'll cover all of that. We'll cover whole life, we'll cover universal life, term life, annuities, combination plans like joint and survivor. We'll cover all of that the last 2 days. So today, what we're going to talk about is chapter two. So this is about policy riders, provisions, and options. This 1 year tend to give people hard time on the exam, but the crazy thing is this will, you know, for most parts of the exam, it will make up anywhere between, for most states, it will make up anywhere between 15% of your exam on the low end to even up to 35% of the exam. So it's difficult, but if you bomb this chapter, chances are you're going to fail your exam. Okay, so it's very important. It's difficult, but it's also very important. You have to understand it. You have to do well on this section because, again, at least 15%, but up to 35% of your exam can be on this chapter alone. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. Even if we don't finish it, that's fine. But I feel that this chapter is confusing, but it's also a big part of your exam. So you really have to understand it. The good news is compare that to chapter four, which is about retirement, you know, and taxes. Usually anything that that has to do with taxes tend to be, you know, very complicated. So the good news is for this part, usually for most state exams, it make up between 2% of the exam to like 8%. Right? So there's not that much. So even if you bomb this one, even if you get all the questions wrong for chapter four, you can still pass your exam. So chapter four is also very difficult, but I don't really spend a lot of time. I don't beat it that much because it's not a major, you know, part of your exam. All right? So before we proceed, Ms. Beth, any questions? Questions, nope. Comments? All right. So let's start here with policy riders, and I hope you have your, you know, pen and notebook or something to take notes. All right, so let's start with policy riders. So someone may say, but what is a rider? You know, what is a rider? What I like to do is take these big, fancy words and just break it down to everyday terminology, because if you can understand it in a layman's language, chances are you're going to understand it when you see it on your exam. Okay. So what is a rider? Well, a rider is just a fancy name for attachment, you know, for an add-on. Think about, you know, let's say you go to McDonald's, right? Everybody have, you know, eaten at McDonald's at least once. So everybody can relate to this. So you go through the drive-thru, and let's say your standard McDonald's know, come with a drink, fries, and burger, right? Those are the three standard. But let's say you go to the drive-thru and you see their menu and it's summertime, you know, in Texas, it gets very hot, sometimes even up to, you know, 100 degrees. So it's a hot summer day. And you're like, no, I feel like getting some ice cream, you know, because McDonald's sells ice cream. So, okay, yes, I'll still get the standard stuff, but I want some ice cream. So, you know, so can I get a cone, you know, a small ice cream? And then while you're at it, you probably feel guilty, like, okay, I'm about to eat all this pile of crap. I know it's not good for me. So to get rid of my guilt, can I have a small bowl of vegetables? can I have a small bowl of fruits, you know? You know, it's got the fruit will help to, you know, it'll help to get rid of your guilt, you know, because, you know, you shouldn't be eating junk. So like, okay, I'll have ice cream and I'll have a bowl of fruits. Okay. So the bowl of fruits and the ice cream, they're extra, right? They're not something, you know, they don't come with the standard McDonald's meal. So that will be insurance that will be considered a rider. It's extra, right? It's an extra service. It's an extra product. So anytime you add something extra to your standard insurance policy, it's called a rider. Okay. So rider, just know that it's an add-on. It's an attachment to your standard policy. Just like McDonald's, if you add anything to your standard meal, which is your burger, your fries, and your drinks, that will be considered a rider. All right? So that is it. Just anytime you think about it, just know that that's extra. Now, while we're just on the general rider topic. Now, if you ask the McDonald's employee at the window, okay, I want fries, you know, I want ice cream, and I want a bowl of fruits, Ms. Bev, is it going to cost you the same amount? Is it going to cost you less, or is it going to cost you more?
It's going to cost more.
Perfect. Why is it going to cost more?
Because you've added something.
Perfect. So it's the same thing with life insurance. So anytime you add a rider, just know your premium will cost more. So let's say if your standard premium was supposed to be $50 and you add one rider, it may go to $55. You add five riders, it may go to $80. So just know that for life insurance, anytime you add a rider, or I'll say 99.9% of the time when you add a rider, your premium will always increase.
Okay, your premium increase. Okay.
So on the exam, and that's why I like people to really understand the concept, because once you understand the concept, you really understand it, not memorize, but really understand it, then no matter how they twist and turn the questions, you are still going to get it right. So on the exam, they may give you a scenario-based question like, Mary bought a standard life insurance policy without any riders. John bought the same policy, but he added, you know, the disability rider, you know, and he added the guaranteed insurability riders. Which one of these will pay? Or they may even go a little step further and say, Mary is an agent and she sold insurance policy to three clients. Client number one got a standard life insurance policy without any riders. Client number two got the life insurance policy with a disability rider and a guaranteed insurability rider. Client number three added the disability rider, guaranteed insurability rider, long-term care rider. Which one of these clients will pay, you know, which one of these clients premium, with all things being equal, which one of these clients, you know, will pay the highest amount of premium? So you don't even need to know the detail. No, it's a scenario based. So once you understand that, the person who asks the most will pay the most in premium. So client number three, because he has three riders, will pay the most. Any questions so far?
No, sir. Good.
All right. So now let's go through the list of riders. You have about 10 riders. Now, what we try to do here with our self-study courses, they're very specific to your state outline. That is one of the reasons we have such a very high pass rate. Our pass rate is 82%. The industry average is 37%. There are some states that are more, that are higher, some states lower, but the industry average, national average is around 37%. So you put that another way, that means 63% of people fail the exam. Geez, that means the majority must be doing something wrong. Right. So what we do here is we use the exam outline because they're going to because the test provider has already told you everything that will be on your test, all the topics that will be. So what the outline for Texas is not going to be the same as the outline for California or the outline for New York. What the other insurance providers do, pre-licensing providers, they will take one general exam content. Because your exam is divided into two parts. You have the general insurance, and then you have the state law. So they'll take one general insurance content and then just copy and paste it for all 50 states. But though, for example, if you're in if you're in Missouri, greater premium whole life and modified premium whole life is not going to be on your exam, right? So we have all, or if you're in Texas, Fraternal Benefit Society will be on your exam, but someone in Washington, D.C., Fraternal Benefit Society will not be on the exam. But when you, some of these other providers, I won't call their name, but I don't want to get into trouble, but when you look at the exam stuff, someone in Texas is learning about Fraternal Benefit Society, duh, it's not on your exam outline. You're not going to learn it. So that is what we do here. So we're just going to use these 10. Again, check your state exam outline. If it's not on your state exam outline, don't bother learn it. But we're just going to use, we're using the South Carolina exam outline for now. So we'll go over that. But the good news is when you take our self-study course, you won't have to worry about whether it's on your exam outline or not, because everything that's in your course is on your exam outline, right? It's specific to your state. I saw your hands up, Ms. Beverly. You want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, why would we not? I mean, how will we know what's on the state? Is just because I'm doing a Texas, you're teaching me from the Texas outline? Is that what we're doing?
Exactly. So the good news is the Texas outline is very similar, except the general portion is 99.9% similar to South Carolina.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. It's easier to take it because you're teaching me the strategies for what they're put on the exam.
Exactly.
As studying things that's not even on the exam.
Exactly.
Got it. Yes, sir. That was my question. That was one.
Yeah. All right. So now let's go and let's see what's the first rider here on our list. All right. So the first rider we have here is the waiver of premium and waiver of monthly deduction rider. So usually, before people start sending a diagnostic test, this is for the general portion. It's about 100 questions, and it's just going to test your, just test your overall level of understanding. So it's a diagnostic test. That kind of gives me a feel for where you are. You know, there are some people who score. Now, if you score 85% or you score 90%, then you don't need me, but that shows you where you are and stuff like that. So I know you didn't take the diagnostic test, but I sent it to everybody the day before. So what I'll do is after this, I'll send it to you.
Yes,
I know
sir.
It's day three, but you can still go back and and take it. And that will just give you a feeling of where you stand as far as your preparedness. Okay, so the first rider we're going to talk about is called the waiver of premium and the waiver of monthly deduction rider. Again, we say a rider is anything that's add on, right? Anything that doesn't come standard. So waiver of premium, what that does is you pay a little extra, but in a case of a disability, you know, because life is unpredictable. You know, you can be in good health today, and then tomorrow, God forbid, you're involved in an accident, right? You're involved in an accident and
boom. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, man.
You're involved in an accident and you're disabled and now you can't work. And if you cannot work, you don't have income coming in, you're not able to pay your premiums, right? So the waiver of premium.
I apologize. Go right here, sir.
You can hear me now?
I can hear you, yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So what the waiver of premium does, it says, okay, you know what? If you become disabled, and most of the time, you know, most policies will require that disability to last at least 3 months or 90 days, right? But if you are disabled for more than 90 days, right, then we're going to waive your premium payment. So just think about the disability rider is just to waive premium when you become disabled or if you become disabled, right? So they'll waive your premium payment. Sometimes they'll give you a specific length of time that, okay, if you become disabled, we'll waive your premium payment for 5 years or for 10 years. Or some of them would say, some of the riders would say, you know, your premium will be waived for as long as your disability lasts. So if your disability lasts for 10 years, then your premium will be waived for 10 years. Okay. So that's just the disability rider. Simple. Just know that it waives your premium payment if you become disabled.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the other rider is called the waiver of monthly deduction rider. So what the waiver of monthly deduction rider, because they're all similar, right? But what that would do is that instead of that just waiving your premium, it will waive the amount that your insurance company, assuming it's a permanent insurance policy, you'll waive the deduction. Because when you pay your premium, a percentage of your premium payment goes to cover the insurance company costs, right? So they deduct that from your premium, right? So the insurance company costs of doing business. So the insurance company will just waive, you know, that monthly deduction. So usually the waiver of premium is better because the insurance will just waive the entire premium, but the waiver of monthly deduction will just waive the money that the insurance company was going to deduct from your premium. So the two most important things to know about this, number one, this rider only becomes active or it goes into effect when you become disabled, and they pay you money for a specified period of time during your disability. And third, most of the time, your disability must last for at least 90 days, right? So if it's just a minor injury, let's say you're involved in an accident and you sprung your legs, you know, and you're on crutches for 1 week, well, that doesn't count, right? So they want to make sure that this is something serious, so 90 days. The good thing is, after 90 days, they'll retroactively go back and waive your premium. So let's say you get disabled in January, they won't waive your premiums until April, but they'll go back and waive all your premium payments starting January. So they'll make it retroactive.
Okay.
Okay, so the benefit of this is it keeps your policy active while you're disabled, because depending on your disability, you may not be able to work. And this happens all the time. You cannot work. Now you end up losing your insurance policy because you can't afford the big premiums. All right, so we'll go here to the next rider. That's called the guaranteed insurability rider. Guaranteed insurability rider. You know, the guarantee, you know, life is not stagnant, right? So you can be in good health today, and tomorrow you're in bad health, right? So the guaranteed insurability rider just says, okay, you know, we're going to guarantee to provide additional coverage for you for, you know, a certain amount of time, usually up until age 45. So So once you get that rider, if you want to increase your coverage, we can guarantee that you can increase your coverage. Most policies will say up to age 45. What that means, let's say you're young, you know, you're in your 20s or you're in your 30s, you don't have any kids yet, you don't have a family, you don't have any assets. So you probably won't need that much insurance coverage, right? But let's say down the line, 5 years later, now you have 5 kids, you know, you have a family, you have, you know, all of that responsibility. Now, instead of needing 100 or 200,000, you may need a lot more than that, right? But now, what if during that time, God forbid, you have a chronic medical problem that now insurance companies don't want to cover you, right? So now you're stuck, even though you have a small policy, but you just have a $100,000 policy, but you have 5 kids. I mean, that $100,000 is not even enough to send all 5 kids, you know, to pay their college tuition, right? So now you're stuck. So the guaranteed insurability rider gives people that peace of mind to say, okay, whenever I need extra coverage within a certain amount of time, I can get that extra coverage even if my health changes. So I have this lady. She's actually a Jamaican lady. She's a very nice lady, friend of mine, everything. So she got a policy that was years ago, but she was young, you know. So she got a policy. She's like, oh, well, I can only have 400,000. So cut long story short, but she didn't renew. She didn't get any new policy. But now she had a family and she adopted some bunch of kids and everything. So now she wanted to go and instead of 100,000, now she wanted to get 1 million. But the sad thing is, she has some chronic health issues, right? So she went to company A, they turned her down, company B turned her down. She went to like 7 different life insurance companies. All of them turned her down because of her age, right? So now she's like, damn, I wish I had added a guaranteed insurability rider to my policy, because now within a certain fixed period of time, you can go to an insurance company and say, okay, you know what? My policy is $100,000 death benefit. I want to increase it to 200,000 or 300,000. So now they won't look at your age. The only thing they're going to look at, they won't look at your health. The only thing they'll look at is your age, and your premium is going to be higher. So another thing about a guaranteed insurability rider is anytime you buy additional coverage, your premium will always increase. Okay. Why will your premium increase? Because your age is increasing. Insurance, the two things your insurance company base your premiums on will be your age and your health. Those are the two major things, your age and your health, and sometimes your gender, but to a lesser extent, because men on average die, earlier than women. That's just a fact. So insurance companies, men are considered higher risks. So insurance companies will usually charge men a little bit more. Like I ran a policy. I'm going to put an application for a 62-year-old man. He's an African immigrant. But 62-year-old. So a term policy, 25-year term policy, it costs about $226. But his wife, who's about the same age, I ran the same policy for her, and it was about, $25 less, so $200. All of them are, pretty similar health, everything. The only difference is the gender, right? Okay. So women, for insurance, all things being equal, they always pay slightly less than men. All things being equal, someone in a poor health will always pay more than someone in good health. And someone who is older will always pay more than someone who is younger. So those three things, your age, your health, and your gender, those three things affect your premium. Any questions so far?
Age, health, and gender.
Yeah, age, health, and gender. Now, I know, and we'll get to it. When we get to chapter 3, there'll be unfair discrimination. So insurance companies are allowed to discriminate. but the law, there are certain people or demographics that it cannot discriminate against. So, but we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but like they can't discriminate against you based on your sexual orientation, national origin. Like they can charge someone from Africa more than someone from Europe, right? So there's, but for your age, yeah, you're allowed to charge more. You know, if you're older, they're allowed to charge more. If you're a man, you're allowed to charge more if you're in, you know, poor health. So that's, but we'll get to that. So guarantee insurability right now. While we're on it, there's something called a teen age. So in insurance, again, they'll use all these fancy big words to confuse people. So when you see on your exam, a teen age, A-T-T-A-I-N-E-D, a teen. What that just means is current age, right? A teen, right? A teen just means what you have achieved, like what you have now, right? So a teen is just your current age. So a teen age means current age. So when you go to exercise that guarantee insurability rider, right? Let's say you have it and 10 years later, you want to get extra coverage. They'll base your premium payment on your attained age. That means your current age. That is why every time you know, if you increase your coverage, your premium is always higher because we get older every single year, right? Like, for example, you know, my birthday is coming up in a few days, so I'm going to be 1 year older, right? So, so you get older every year, and the older you get, the higher your premium is. So just know that anytime you go to exercise the guarantee insurability rider, your premium will always be higher. Any questions?
I don't think so.
All right. So what I like to do here, that's why it's called a challenge. It's not a class. It's a challenge. Usually a class, you go there for 1 hour, or, you know, however long it is, and the teacher blabs on for 45 minutes and 1 hour, and you go home and come. No, here, I challenge you, right? So if you don't have questions for me towards the end, I'll take a little break and then ask you questions to make sure you understand. So, yeah, that's it. All right. So that's the guarantee insurability rider. Next rider we're going to go over here is called the payer benefit rider.
Payer
payer benefit rider. Payer benefit rider.
It is payer benefit rider.
Yeah. So what the payer benefit rider does is a rider that will, how do you call it? It's a rider that will pretty much, you know, waive the premium payment, right? If the payer of the policy dies. So that's usually on juvenile policies, right? So let's say you have kids and then you buy insurance, no, your minor kids under 18. So you get insurance for them. But because you are the adult, you will be the payer, you will be the owner and stuff. But what if now, God forbid, you die, okay, right? Or you become disabled, right? Now you can't afford to make the premium payment, and then now that policy gets terminated. So what the payer benefit rider says, okay, if you know your child's policy would still remain in force if you become disabled or if you die, insurance company will waive that premium payment. Okay.
Oh. So
yeah, the payer benefit rider.
They waive the premium.
Yeah, they waive the premium payment. So the payer benefit rider, sometimes, like in the case of death, they waive the premium payment maybe up until the child turns 21 or 25. And then at that point, they can take over ownership and resume paying premium. So when you think about the payer benefit rider, think about minors, like a parent getting insurance for their child, and then something happens to the parent. The point of that, you know, the whole intention behind that rider is to make sure that the child does not lose insurance coverage because of the parent's death or disability.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's the payer benefit rider. All right. So next rider we have here is called the accidental death and or dismemberment rider. Accidental death and dismemberment rider. So this one is pretty simple. So what this one does is if you are involved in an accident, right, and you die from that accident, usually within a 90 days period, then the insurance company will most of the time pay either double or triple your death benefit. So let's say your death benefit is $100,000 and God forbid you die in a car accident, right? Then that rider will pay, instead of $100,000, will pay either $200,000 if it's a double indemnity rider, they'll pay $200,000. If it's a triple indemnity rider, they'll pay $300,000. So they'll pay double or triple the face amount. So that's called the accidental death benefit rider.
Okay.
So now on your exam, they may ask you something to the effect of which one of the following riders does not affect the death benefit, right? Which of the following riders does not affect the death benefit? So they'll have guarantee insurability rider. They'll have payer benefit rider. They will have the accidental death and dismemberment rider. And they'll have the long-term care rider. Well, and I think it'll make more sense when we finish all the riders. But just know that the disability riders do not affect your death benefit. What that means is they won't increase your death benefit, they won't decrease your death benefit, nothing, right? So the person pretty much will get that that benefit free of charge. No, it won't affect your death benefit. Now, with the guarantee insurability rider, what that does is it will increase your death benefit, right? Because you're asking the insurance company to increase your coverage, right? Increase your death benefit. So guarantee insurability rider will increase your death benefit. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Where do they get the rider increase? The death benefit increase? When does that happen? The guaranteed insurability rider.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said their death benefit will increase.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How do we know it?
Good. Because what is the purpose of the guaranteed insurability rider? It's to purchase more coverage, right? So the reason we have is you want to be guaranteed to buy additional insurance coverage anytime you want, right? No matter what your health situation is, because we know that your health is not guaranteed. You may be in good health today and in poor health tomorrow. But what if 5 years from now you want to increase your coverage, but now you're diagnosed with cancer? Now, most companies will not cover someone, 99.9% of insurance companies will not insure someone who has cancer, right? So now you're kind of stuck. So the guaranteed insurability rider is almost like, I'm trying to think of the best way to think about it. It's almost like you put something on layaway. Like, okay, I'm not just ready to get it yet, but anytime I want it, I should be able to come back and just pay for it and get it. So the guarantee insurability rider, you're paying extra premium ahead of time so that when you want to get extra coverage, they can give it to you no matter what your health situation is. So what that will do, because when you buy extra coverage, your death benefit is what? Increasing, right? So the guarantee insurability rider increases death benefit.
Okay.
And towards the end of the riders, we'll group them into three categories. One category will be the riders that will increase your death benefit. The other category will be the riders that will not affect your death benefit. And then the third category will be the riders that will decrease your death benefit. We'll summarize, yeah. Because on your exam, they may ask you a tricky question like that. Which of the following riders will increase you know, John's death benefit. And then they'll have all of that. And then you got to know, oh, guarantee insurability rider. Okay, we increase the death benefit. You know, so they'll have long-term care. No, your long-term care rider will decrease your death benefit. So we'll, you know, we'll cover all of that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so that's the accidental death and dismemberment rider. Next rider we have is term riders. Term, T-E-R-M-S, term. You know, like term. So now the benefit of adding a term insurance rider to your, and this is added to permanent life insurance policies. The benefit of doing that is simple, because when you, let's just say someone needs $500,000 coverage, right? So the person needs $500,000 coverage, but they can only afford, no, again, this is for permanent life insurance, right? So let's say someone wants $500,000 whole life coverage, but they can only afford the premium for $200,000. So what the term insurance rider would do, insurance, you can add $300,000, right? Term insurance rider, but instead of getting two separate policies, instead of going out and buying a $300,000 term insurance policy and having a $200,000 whole life policy, what agents would do, and I do this on my clients all the time, if a client wants a high death benefit, but they can't afford the premium payments, instead of giving them term, you can get them a permanent life insurance policy, low amount, and then add more. You can add more term insurance. We'll talk about it in the Growth Academy once you get your license. I don't want to confuse you. But what the term insurance rider does is it adds extra coverage to your permanent life insurance policy, but it's a term policy, so it's for a specified period of time. So let's say someone has a $200,000 whole life policy while you're putting the application in, but they want $500,000 coverage. So now you can add $300,000 worth of term insurance to the policy, but usually that term insurance added to that policy will be there for a set number of years. It can be 10 years, it can be 20 years, 30 years, but it's going to be for a specified period of time. And then you add it to the policy. So now the person pretty much are getting two for one. They're able to get a higher death benefit, but for a very lower price without having to get like a term insurance by itself. So that's called a term insurance rider. What you want to know is anytime a term insurance is added to a permanent policy, another name for that is called the base insured rider, B-A-S-E, base insured rider. That's another name. So they may not say term insurance rider, but they may say base insured rider. So you want to just know that, you know, it's all the same thing.
The base insured rider is the name for the insurance rider.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So we have that. Okay, so that's term insurance. All right, let's go here. Next rider we're going to talk about is called the other insurance rider. So now,
spell that.
Other, O-T-H-E-R, other insurance. Yeah, other insurance rider. So pretty much what the other insurance rider does is, you know, sometimes you have a huge family and you can't afford to get insurance, a separate insurance policy for every single one, right? Like one of my clients, I don't know how she did it, but she has seven kids. I mean, I don't know anyone who has seven kids in this day and age, but she has seven kids. So and she's not making a lot of money. So I told her, she's like, oh, but you know, I ran the illustration for her. Again, when you join the Growth Academy, you're going to learn all of this. So I ran the illustration for her, and her total premium came to almost $1,100 a month.
Wow.
She said, yeah, I can afford, you know, to insure all her kids, you know, her husband and everything. It was going to almost $1,100 a month. She's like, damn, this is too expensive. Wow. I can only afford, you know, I can, the maximum right now I can afford is $300. So what we're able to do, we're able to get an auto insured rider. We're able to add it just a temporary fix until her financial situation improves, where she can be able to get a separate insurance policy for each of her kids and for her husband. So the other insured rider is, it just means you're adding other people to your policy as insured. So you, let's say your kids, you can get your kids maybe $100,000 policy each, but instead of it being a separate policy, you can attach it to your policy, right? So like in the case of her, instead of her going out and getting and getting 9 different policies, because 7 kids herself, her husband, that's 9, right? So instead of her going to get 7 different policies, she will get 1 policy, but add those 8 policies, like little bit added, which was cheaper than getting 9 different policies. So that's called the other insured riders. Now, you have different types for other insured riders. So you have the children insured rider. So when you're just adding your children to your insurance policy, not as beneficiaries, but as insured, right? So God forbid, if something happens to them, the insurance company will always also pay a death benefit. So if it's just your children, it's called children insured rider. If it's just 1 child, it's called child insured rider. If it's your spouse, it's called spousal insured rider. If it's the entire family, your kids and your spouse, then it's called family insured rider or family term rider. Any questions? So another thing to know about the other insured rider, again, is usually for a specified period of time. So it's not for the entire, it's not for life. So it may be for 10 years or 20 years. Okay, I'm going to insure my kids on my policy for 10 years or 20 years. So it's for a specified period of time. Any questions, comments so far? And if I'm going too fast, let me know. You know, I'll kind of slow down. Because this, as I said, this portion of your exam will make up anywhere between 15% on the low end to up to 35% of the exam. So it's very critical for you to really understand, this section.
Okay.
Let's see here. All right, so that is it. So we'll go here to the next rider. Okay, the next rider is called a long-term care rider. Oh, man, I love this rider for all my clients over the age of 50. I try to get them this rider unless, of course, if they can't afford it, then something, right? But
long-term cared, C-A-R-E?
Yeah, it's long-term care rider.
Oh, C-A-R-E, okay. Long-term care rider.
Mm-hmm. A long-term care rider. So I love this for all my clients over the age of 50. First thing I tell them, hey, if you want us to be best friends, you have to get this rider because this protects you. Why is that? Well, the just full disclosure, I'm also a pharmacist, so I know a thing or two like that farmers insurance. Commercial. I know a thing or two, something like that. So, but yes, the fact when you're over the age of 50, especially for Black people, over the age of 50, you're at high risk for a lot of chronic diseases, right? People over the age of 50, and then for each year after that, your risk of getting a chronic disease increases exponentially every year over 50. And we also know that more than 50% of Americans cannot even afford a $500 emergency. So your car breaks down or something, they don't even have $500 in your account to go and take care of an emergency. So now, what if, you're doing well, you're working, you got a job, you can pay your bills, but boom, you're sick, a long-term care medical issue, maybe for 2 or 3 years, you can't work. Now you're pretty much out of work, right? What happens is Now you end up losing everything. You end up losing your house. Yes, your insurance will pay for your medical bill, but it won't help to replace your income, right? So now you lose everything. I know people who, you know, they had some medical issues. Like one of my aunties, I'll just tell a quick story. I mean, of course, no one knows, so I won't, you know, say her name, but she was doing very well in her, you know, late 50s, doing very well, working for one of those top investment banks in New York, very well. Her own house, driving a brand new BMW, everything. No, it was a brand new Mercedes Benz. And she had a stroke. No, her daughter came home from vacation. Her daughter was in college at the time, came home, you know, met the mom in a room. Mom is unresponsive. Called 911. The good news is she survived, but she had a stroke, you know, pretty much paralyzed, can't work. So with that, and usually people in the middle have it the worst, you know, you're too rich for government assistance, but you're too poor to survive. So people in the middle really have it worse. If you're very, very poor, the government will take care of you. If you're very rich, well, you will take care of yourself. But in the middle, those are the people who really are in a very bad place, because it just takes one thing to mess you up. So because of that, she ended up losing everything. She couldn't work, you know, for years. She couldn't work. So she ended up losing her house, car, everything. She couldn't afford to pay her mortgage. Because if you can't work, how are you going to pay your mortgage? So she ended up losing everything. She ended up going, you know, that things really got bad for her, right? Now, if she had a long-term care policy, and again, we're going to talk about it in the Growth Academy, so I won't, this will probably not be on your exam, so I won't go into too many details. But if she had a long-term care policy, something like that, and then you have critical illness and other things combined to it, riders, now they were going to give her a monthly income replacement, right? It could be $5,000, it could be $10,000. That now, even though she couldn't work, now she has tax-free money coming in every single month. Mm. But that money comes in from the death benefit. So for your exam purposes, know that long-term care benefits, the riders, right? Once you start receiving long-term care benefits from your insurance, it will decrease your death benefit, because that long-term care benefit is coming from your death benefit. So let's say you have $100,000 policy. So your insurance company will say, okay, you know, we can give you, if you have a long-term care medical issue, usually for more than 90 days, and you can't perform two activities of daily living. The key is two activities of daily living. So what are the activities of daily living? We have eating, bathing, walking, toileting, all those things, right? No, there are six other. But if you can't perform at least two of those, and a licensed medical practitioner can, you know, attest to it in writing that you can perform two activities of daily living, then the insurance company, again, it depends on what insurance company you have, but it can be anywhere between 1-5% of your death benefit. They can give it to you on a monthly basis. So you do the math. Let's just make it easy. Let's say you have a $1 million policy times 2%. So pretty much you can get $20,000 every single month tax-free. But that $20,000 will be deducted from your death benefit. So every month you get that $20,000, it will come for that $1 million. So you pretty much use it until your death benefit runs out. So for exam purposes, know that long-term care is one of the riders that will decrease your death benefit, okay? So long-term care is one of the riders that will decrease your death benefit. So again, let's wrap it up for long-term care. Now, if someone is in their 20s, you could still get them long-term care, but is it like required? No, somewhere in your 30s. Well, yeah. Even though people in their 30s, like I just lost one of my friends, very good friends last year. She died of a heart attack, a 34-year-old. You think a 34-year-old thing get heart attack, right? But yeah, so the point I'm trying to make is even young people nowadays, they're getting cancer, like before cancer was mostly in older people, but now young people in their 20s, 30s are getting, I don't know what's going on, but anyway. That's another talk for another day. So you can still get long-term care policies for people in your 20s, your 30s, but definitely if your client is 50 years old, if they can afford it, they can afford it. But if they can afford it, you as the agent, you want to tell them, you have to get this because you're just one heart attack, you're one stroke away from complete bankruptcy. Everything you work for in your life comes crashing down with just one major medical problem. And we know that healthcare, like major medical conditions, they are the number one reason people file for bankruptcy in this country. Health reasons, number one. So as an agent, again, this is just few training eye exam. When you get your license, all your clients over the age of 50, talk to them, cry on them to get the long-term care rider. It is worth it. Okay? Especially if they're males, absolutely get them to have it because they'll come back to thank you for it. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's long-term care. So let's wrap it up. So long-term care will decrease your death benefit. Two, long-term care, in order to activate that rider, you must not be able to perform at least two activities of daily living, right? And number three, before the benefit payments can start, usually sometimes they'll say whatever the condition is, it has to go on for at least 90 days. Before they can start to pay. So you can't just, maybe someone has critical issue, maybe for, two or three weeks you're in the hospital, you can't talk, you can't feed yourself, stuff like that. But it's just for 1 or 2 weeks, right? Insurance company not going to pay for that. They want to make sure it's something that's really serious. So 90 days is the benchmark. And that's it for long-term care. So they'll usually give you a percentage of your death benefit. It could be whatever is in the policy. It could be monthly, it could be quarterly, it could be, I don't know, but they'll give you a percentage of your death benefit over a fixed period of time. And then know that the death benefit is never ever taxed, okay? So that is the other good thing. Like your clients will tell you, I have a disability policy. But yeah, the difference between this and all those policies they get on their own from other places is that the long-term care benefit rider does not count as income. So let's say someone is getting $20,000 a month. It won't be taxed. Why? Because it's not counted as earned income, right? So it's not going to be taxed. Whereas if you get a disability policy, whatever you get is going to be taxed. So know that long-term care benefits are not taxed. Death benefits are also not taxed. If you receive it as a lump sum, death benefits are never, ever taxed if you receive it as a lump sum. But we'll get into that in chapter four. Chapter four has to do with taxes and all of that. So that's long-term care. Any questions so far? Questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Many. Huh? You go very fast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll slow down.
Okay, because I'm trying to understand the main thing. When you said, now long-term care, mm-hmm. rider, mm-hmm. that decreases the death benefit. Mm-hmm. But the other one was not the long-term care. It was the other people. to the policy. That's the other insurance rider.
So yes. So the other insurance rider, you're adding people to the policy. So the other insurance rider technically also increases the death benefit because you're adding more people to the coverage, but it will increase the death benefit of the standard policy, but it's just going to be adding other people that will have their own death benefit added to the policy.
So that's when it's increased. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Let's just say increase. Yes. Let's say increase. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Long-term care rider will decrease the death, but the other rider, the other insurance rider,
will increase.
It will increase. Mm-hmm. Okay. But how does it? Okay, I don't understand. Because you're paying more on the premium. Is that it?
On which one?
On the other.
The other? No. Because you're adding more death benefit to your policy now. So let's say you have let's just use you for example. So you have a policy, but you would like to get insurance for your husband. But in this case, your husband, let's say if you had to get him a separate policy, it would cost maybe $600. You're like, geez, that's too much money. I can't afford to pay $500 a month for my policy and pay $600 a month for his policy. So what I can do, I can just get a small policy for him and attach it to my policy. So instead of paying $600 extra, now maybe I just pay $100 extra. Okay. So you're attaching,
adding the spouse.
And in our case, it will be called a spouse or rider.
And it's for the specified period.
Yes, for a specified period of time. So usually, again, it can be anywhere from 5 years to 20 or 30 years, but it will have to come off at a certain point.
Okay, but it has. Yeah. Okay. So now to go over these, the policy riders in chapter 2. Mm-hmm. The policy riders, what is a rider? It's an attachment. Mm-hmm. Anytime you add someone, it's going to cost you more. Mm-hmm. Not as much, but more. And anytime you add a rider, your premium goes up.
Yes.
Premium increases. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and also if your premium increases, your death benefit increases, right? No. No, it has nothing to do with the death benefit.
Which one?
If you add someone, add a rider to your standard policy, insurance policy, and what you do, a general insurance or a standard insurance policy, but mm-hmm. rider to it, your premium goes up. Does mm-hmm. that have to do with your death benefit?
So it depends what type of rider it is. So if it's the payer benefit rider, that doesn't affect your death benefits. The guaranteed insurability rider, yes, when you go to get new coverage, it will increase your death benefit. So it just depends on the rider. So your death benefit may not be affected. It may increase, but you know that anytime you add a rider, your premium will always increase.
Premium increases. Okay. Yeah. We're not really talking about the death.
Exactly.
I got it a little confused there. Okay. So, okay, so for women, insurance is possibly less.
It's always cheaper for women than men. Assuming all things are equal, a woman of the same age and a man of the same age for the same amount of money, the woman will always pay less.
Okay, the lady will pay less. And then, so it starts with age, health, and gender. And then what attained age means, it's your current age.
Exactly.
Is there something else? Okay. Okay, the payer benefit is a rider. Mm-hmm. And you usually use that for children sometimes, the payer.
No, right? It's always used for children. So it's when you have an insurance policy for your child and the child is a minor, then the payer benefit is there to protect that child just in an unfortunate event you die or become disabled. So they will waive the premium payment so your child's policy will still be active.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. It looks like. Charge my phone. Just a second. Mm-hmm. Run it to the charger and bring it right back. Plug it in. I apologize.
That's okay. All right, so guys, you are listening on the podcast. So this is what we do here. If you want to be a part of the challenge, we have the link in the description. Click that link. You have a free 5-day trial. And yeah, you can go from there. Try it for 5 days. If you like it, you continue. If you don't like it, you cancel. But it's a monthly membership of just $29 a month. And yeah. Wow. And we have tons of videos you can watch and learn. All right. Ms. Beverly is back.
I'm here. Yes, sir.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Did I lose you? Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, yeah, you're saying something. Yeah, you can continue. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to do that. Let's see. I won't reach up here.
Okay.
Let's see. I won't reach up there. You won't reach there either. That's outside. Okay. Let's see.
Well, so at the end of this, just to let you know, I'm going to give you an assignment. That's why it's called a challenge, because
ready.
At the end, yes, you're going to get assignment to do. No,
yes,
you
sir.
Everything will cover. You'll go back over it, take the quizzes, make sure you understand it, keep doing them until you score 80%. But over the last, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before we close, I'll go over your assignment.
Oh, the assignment isn't it due right now?
Well, yes, so an assignment was due today, but since you're just joining us for the first time, understandable. But I'll give you an assignment that will be due before you join us. Will you be joining us tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Did you still have a question or you're saying something and then your phone died?
I was just going over this, what you said. So I'm fine. No, I'm fine. Yes, sir.
Good. All right. All right, let's continue. All right, so we'll be wrapping up in maybe 10, 15 minutes, but let me go over a few more riders. Okay, so the other rider we have is called the Return of Premium Rider. Okay, Return of Premium Rider. So what that rider does is, and this is only for term insurance policy. So anytime you hear Return of Premium Rider, think about term insurance policy. It's only used for term insurance policy. So what this rider does is that if you have this rider attached to your term insurance policy and you die, then the insurance company will, in addition to the death benefit, they'll pay the total premium or all of the premium you pay. So let's say you have a term insurance policy for 20 years, and over those 20 years, you pay maybe $50,000 in premium. But your death benefit is $200,000. So now when you die, instead of your beneficiary just getting $200,000, your beneficiary will get the $200,000 plus the total of $50,000 you pay in premium. So $250,000.
Okay.
But what if you don't die? So at the end of your term, if you don't die, because on average, only about 2% of term insurance will actually pay out. That means pay the death benefit. So about 98% of people will survive, their term insurance policy, right? So in that case, if you don't die during your term insurance policy, let's say if your term is for 10 years and you don't die during those 10 years, then when your term insurance policy is expired, the insurance company will give you back all of the premium you pay. So let's say you pay a total of $20,000 in premium over those 10 years, the insurance company is going to give you back or refund all of your premium. That's why it's called the return of premium. So they'll return to you all of the premium you pay. Now, because again, this is a rider, so if you have this added to your term insurance policy, it's going to increase your premium. And then what you got to know, and we talked about this yesterday, the return of premium rider is a form of, it's a type of increasing term insurance, right? Because term insurance, you have different types. You have increasing, decreasing, and level. So for exam purposes, know that return of premium is a type of increasing term insurance. Okay? So so they may ask you which of the following is an increasing term insurance. You know, they have different things. But anytime you see return of premium, know that it is only, it's only used for term insurance policies, right? So it's a rider that can only be attached to term insurance policy. And it's an increasing term insurance, term insurance policy. And then it returns the premium. It returns all of the premium if the person outlives the policy. But if they die during the policy period, then we'll pay the death benefit plus all of the premiums the person pay.
Yes, sir. Got it.
Any questions?
No, sir. This is good.
All right. How are you feeling? Your confidence went up a little bit?
I'm feeling confident more than I did before. I can tell you that. But I'm looking forward to the studying and the testing. Mm-hmm. And know what I'm getting. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the challenge is, to me, is it's really good. It helped me to stay focused because I look forward to taking it to see what I've gotten out of it. Mm-hmm. Every time I was asking you a question, I had to read it because I was trying mm-hmm. to make sure I was saying it right. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4, I said it right. So I was glad. That's a blessing. So here we go.
All right. So now the last rider we'll finish with is called the cost of living rider, right? Cost of living. So so the cost of living rider, cost of living. So another name for it is called the COLA, C-O-L-A. The abbreviation is COLA, C-O-L-A, cost of living rider, right? So pretty much we know that everybody has experienced inflation. You know, we saw that during COVID-19, the price of almost everything went up. Price of car went up, food, groceries, everything went up, right? So that is inflation right there. Inflation pretty much means that your money will be worth less and less with time. Why? Because prices will keep going up. So the cost of living rider is a rider that you attach to your policy to just make sure that your death benefit keeps pace with inflation. So for every year that inflation goes up, your death benefit will be increased to match that, will automatically be increased. So let's say it was 2023 last year. So let's say 2024, the cost of living increased by 5%. Then now your death benefit will automatically increase by 5%, right? And then next year, if the cost of living increased by 10%, your death benefit will automatically increase by 10%. So the reason to do that is because let's say you have a policy, a life insurance policy for 50 years. Let's say you got it when you're 30 years old. Okay. And now you keep that policy for 50 years, but you don't have a cost of living rider attached. So that same, let's say you got a $200,000 policy. And let's say you got that $200,000 policy, we're in 2024. So let's subtract 50 years ago was 1970, right? So let's say 1974, you got $200,000 policy.
Okay.
But now you fast forward to 2024, that $200,000 in 1974 is not what it is now, right? That $200,000 in 1974, it could do so much for you. It could buy you two big houses and everything. But now, depending on what part of the country, like if you live on the East Coast, $200,000 can buy you anything, right? So it just means that your money is worth less and less. So to avoid that, you get a cost of living rider. So maybe with the cost of living rider, that $200,000 policy you bought in 1974, now your death benefit is maybe $700,000 or $800,000 to keep pace with inflation, because that's approximately $200,000 in 1974 will probably be worth, you know, at least $500,000 or even $800,000 now, you know, with inflation. So that's the cost of living rider. So what you need to know about that is, number one, it increases the death benefit. Okay, so we know that the cost of living rider increases the death benefit. The return of premium rider, you know, will increase the death benefit. Your base insured rider will increase the death benefit. So these are all riders that will increase your death benefit.
Okay, nice. Please say those again, sir.
Your cost of living rider.
Increase the death benefit. And then
yes, your base insured rider, or another name for that is term insured rider, will increase your death benefit. And then your return of premium rider will also increase your death benefit. Okay, so the difference is, and then your guaranteed insurability rider will also increase your death benefit. So these are all riders that will increase your death benefit. Now, the difference with the cost of living rider is that it's automatic. So you'll automatically increase your death benefit. So you don't have to go and call the insurance company, like the guaranteed insurability rider. You will need to call the insurance company and put in an application, but with the cost of living, it is automatic, right? So every year, depending on, and what you got to know is the usually link a consumer price index to it. So the most common consumer price index that they use to determine, you know, the cost of living adjustment is the CPI, Consumer Price Index. So they'll match it. If the CPI went up by 5% this year, then they'll increase the benefit by 5%. So it's linked to a Consumer Price Index. So it's automatic. Also know that every year that your death benefit increases, your premium will also increase. So that is the disadvantage of it. So let's say if you got this policy in 1974 and you're paying $50 a month, now, because your death benefit has increased to $800,000, now maybe now your premium is $250 or $500 a month. So you automatically increase your premium every year. And with that, that's the end of our riders. Again, as I said, this session is long, but even if we don't finish it, that's fine. But I just want to make sure you really understand it, because this will be anywhere from 15% of your exam to up to 35% of your exam. So wow. If you fail this part, you're not going to pass your exam. This is very important. If you score less than 50% on this section, you're going to fail your exam. No doubts about that. So it's very important. I'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments, we got about roughly 5 more minutes to end this. Any questions, any comments?
You mean the class will be over?
Yeah, so it's 2 hours. It's 2 hours every day.
Has it been 2 hours? Oh my goodness.
We're having fun. we started at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So now it's almost 4 p.m. Yeah.
Thing is to know, may I just ask this?
Sure.
The main thing, sir, is to know about the riders, the policy riders, which is chapter 2. And I need to focus on that. And I need to do an exam or take a test myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So for your stuff, so chapter 3 has 3 important sections. You have riders, you have provisions, and you have exclusions. So all of that makes up chapter 2. So riders, what we cover today is rider. Tomorrow we'll go over the policy provisions. So the provisions, riders, and exclusions make up chapter 3. Not chapter 2, I mean.
Okay, so how do I prepare for class tomorrow?
Perfect. So this brings me to your assignment. So your assignment, again, you have access to the Texas self-study course. So your assignment will be go and do all of the lessons for chapter 2. Take all the quizzes. you take all the quizzes and take the final exam. You know, at least do it once. If you don't pass, that's fine, but at least do it once, all the quizzes. Each of those is a lesson, right? So complete all the lessons. If you don't understand the lesson, you can watch. That's the good thing about our course. We have video explanation. You can watch the video, but do all of chapter two, including the chapter two exam.
Okay, so I wanted to, yes, sir. I'm just thankful because I feel like the window is opening. I can kind of see, think, or how you apply it and relate it to what answering a question. Look at, you said there's an affiliate link.
Yes, and I'll email that to everybody. So I'll also text it to you. But the affiliate link, you share with everybody. As I said, we're doing great things. So when you share the affiliate link, you get anywhere between, it depends what it is, but you get anywhere between 30% to 70% commission. So for the self-study course, it's 70% commission. So right now, our self-study course is $250. But make sure when you refer people, you have to refer them, give them your affiliate link. Everybody will have a unique affiliate link. So once you sign up, we'll use, we use PayPal, right? So you want to add your PayPal account information there. So
I don't have PayPal.
Okay, well, for the affiliate link, you have to sign up for PayPal because there's no other option. We pay our affiliates through PayPal.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's only PayPal.
Right now, I'm thinking affiliate. I just want to learn it first.
You can learn it first. I'm just saying that, no, just for future, if someone comes to you and say, oh, Ms. Bev, I want to get my life insurance license. Do you know any good company? In our case, like, you can tell them about us. Without your affiliate link, you're not going to get anything, right? But if you give them an affiliate link and they sign up, then you get 70%.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm like, I want to pass this so bad. And you make it sound so for sure that I can do it. So I believe you, sir.
once you do everything, and then that's what, so our self-study course, you want to score at least 90% on all three of the exams, on the simulated exams. If you score 90% on all the simulated exams, you're guaranteed to pass your exam.
My. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay.
Yeah. So,
class, it went quite fast. I'm going to tell you. I did not realize it was 2 hours, so my apologies.
No, that's okay. And that's what happens when you're having fun. We have a fun time flies. Because trust me, if you are not having fun, those 2 hours were going to feel like 10 hours.
I had to turn the house. It was so hot.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. So that will be your assignment. Again, please, I know you miss, you skip Monday and Tuesday, but, again, it's, just start from somewhere. So do that. If you have any questions, you can watch the videos. If you have any questions, you can still, that's what makes our self-study course very different and very good. You can put your question in the lesson where it says comment. You just type your question there and either me or one of the other trainers will get back to you within 24 hours with an explanation.
All right. So the way right now on my computer, it says we have received your submission. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Back to the previous page. Let me click back to the previous page.
Okay.
It says register for our free webinar. Okay. So I don't really need to do that now because I'm already, right?
Well, yeah. So you register. Yeah. So we'll be having a webinar once every week. And that webinar is about something completely different. Again, I'll probably should have talked about it, but maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow. But the webinar is for those who not just want to pass the exam, but want to earn, want to start earning money within the first 90 days of getting licensed. So we'll tell you how to do that. That one is a separate class. It's a little bit more. So that one is an intimate group, about 10 people. And this one is like, you guys will be my mentees, and I'll be spending a lot of time with you to hold your hands and not just help you pass your exam, but to also help you to succeed in the insurance industry. So we'll be spending, you know, a lot of time, and be more structured, similar to like one-on-one, but now you have my undivided attention to help you succeed in the insurance industry after you pass. So that's what the webinar is. So if you want to learn about that, then you can register for the webinar. We do the webinar once every week, every Thursday at 12 p.m. So we'll have one this week, Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern time.
Now, see, I teach class. I'm in school until 30.
Okay.
Thursdays. And so that's why I did not realize. Mm-hmm. I'm in school. By the time I get back home, my class, we have chapel until from 11 to 12. So by the time I get back home, it's about 1. It's by the time you start your class. So I have to figure out, there's no way for me to get home because I have to stay on one of the instructors.
Well, I understand. But if you register for it, you'll be able to watch the replay. So that's another option.
Oh, yes, sir. That's only on Tuesday, Thursday, because my class is from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Chapel at 11 and we get out at 12. But if I could, I can't skip it, you know, because I'm
No, that's fine. Just register for it. Then when you at the end, you'll be able to watch the replay.
But aren't I already in it?
Yeah, so okay.
How do I find it on my computer?
Well, I'll send you, okay, I'm going to email you the link to register. You can also, I'll send you the landing page for you to register. Yeah, I'll send it to you. I'll email it to you.
Okay, good. Okay, let's see how to do it. So you're going to you will email that to me. So let me click.
I'll do both. I'll both email and text it to you.
Oh, bless your heart. Yes, sir. Thank you. Because it is now, I didn't even realize. Okay. Okay, so 2 o'clock.
The webinar is going to start at 12 p.m. Then the challenge will be at 2 p.m. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And this is Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So it's really 11. Okay. I'm going to try my best, see if I can be excused this week, you know. Oh, because not this week.
The webinar is every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you can do this week, you can do next week.
I'm going to see if I can get here to be. I ask her to bring me so I can. Then, as soon as I get out of class, just Zoom to the house. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can get someone. I can even get an Uber to do that. Okay. That's good. Yes, sir. So tomorrow I will be at 11 and then we do our training at 1. Is that right?
Yes. Well, that's 1 central. So that'll be 2 p.m. Eastern. Yeah.
All right. So 12 for you, 11 for me.
Mm-hmm.
From here, from 11 to 3, I'm on the class.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. I can do it.
All right, Ms. Beverly. So that's good. It's a pleasure having you. So again, for those of you who are watching, or for those of you on the podcast, just to give you some information now, we have good news. We're making some changes. So effective this month, we're going to be doing a video recording of the podcast. So not only will you get to listen to it, you know, because you got some people who are visual, they want to see, you know. So for you, if you're visual, we have the link to our YouTube channel. So you are listening to this, you can also watch it. The benefit is as I share my screen, you can be able to see me, you know, see what's on my screen. You can be able to see me write and all of that. So our YouTube channel is just, you just go to Menzo Pass, just type in, go to YouTube and just type in Menzo Pass. But really? If you check the description for this, I'll also include a link to our YouTube channel in the description, for here. And I'll also email that to all the students. So Ms. Beverly, if you don't have it, that's not a problem. I'll email you, the link to the YouTube channel also. I'll text it and email it to you so you can be able to have it. And we'll have all of this there.
Yes, sir.
So that's it. You make me want to move to Texas. It's 75 degrees, whereas here in DC, I think now it's 37 degrees. Oh my God, this life is not fair.
I had to turn the air on because it was hot in the house.
You're complaining about heat, and I'm here. You see, I'm indoors, and I got this on because it's life. So. But thank you very much, and I hope you're learning something, and the goal will be to get you to pass your exam as soon as possible, all right? And so you can go and start changing lives and making some good money.
I have another question.
Sure.
Because it's over, right?
Well, let me just end the recording, and then if you want to ask me anything, off the recording, then you can go. All right, so guys. Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening to this again on the podcast on YouTube, please like, follow, subscribe. Hey, for those of you listening to this on Audible, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, please write us a review, because by writing a review, other people will be able to come across this podcast. So until next time, thank you very much for watching or listening to us, and we look forward to seeing you join the challenge. So if you don't just want to be a listener, but you actually want to come in and join us and learn and ask questions, we have the link to our challenge. As I said, the first 5 days is free. You don't have to pay anything. So click the link, register, and we'll see you in the next challenge. Until next time, please be